Hey, hey, this is the Bachelor Masters coming at you from Los Angeles.
Great! I have a flute. 100th episode, yeah!
Is this the 100th episode? I think that
your 100th episode. No, not according to my podcast app.
Oh, okay, cool. Hey, 100th episode.
Wow. Let me get my celebration started.
Congratulations, all. We've made it this far.
Congratulations to the podcast. Thank you, Mitt Romney, for making corporations people. Podcasts are also have souls.
Whoa, that's deep.
Well, every time I think, you know, of why an LLC can get sued and stuff, I always think of Mitt Romney and how he specifically helped make corporations people.
Right.
Right.
Well, all of Congress did, but yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, he was had quotes in direct. And then I think people have, like, you know, it's the kind of thing people keep going back to him for. And I think his latest justification was, well, they're run by people.
Right.
And I can see that connection.
I mean, yeah, it's not factually wrong. They are run by people. And he has, I don't know if he still owns it, but yeah, he owns a company, a very large company, actually. So that's probably a factor in there.
Yeah, they all do. But yeah. Anyways, if this podcast was a person, it'd be 100 episodes old.
Yeah, well, we're a non-corporate podcast, so we have no status in the eyes of the law. We can get sued, and it'll go right on to us.
Right. Well, let's LLC. Let's incorporate.
Yeah, we have no limited liability. We're exposed. Okay, we got lots to get to, of course.
Why did you just say that? Now everyone who hates us is...
Like, we're going to get sued. What are they going to sue us for? Having an opinion?
Oh, you know, someone's going to find... Yes, essentially.
Well, speaking of that, I don't know how far into this Twitter controversy I created I want to get into. It has to do with Ivan working for Lockheed Martin, and that's a very problematic company. They sell weapons to countries all over the world, and those countries use those weapons to fight each other and us. We went over it at length on our past episode titled On Ivan's Culpability. So if you really want to run down, you can listen to that from a few episodes ago. But I just don't know if I have it in me to really rehash that.
There's no need. We stated our position very clearly. Yeah. And I don't know how anyone can see bombing the Middle East as anything. I mean, at the very best, it's racist. Right. So I don't understand anyone's position otherwise.
Right. Yeah. And of course, it, you know, relates to the fact that Ivan himself on the show was talking about Black Lives Matter and how his brother was beaten up in prison by prison guards. And you know, it's, you know, and then Lockheed Martin's going around building weapons that bomb innocent people. So look, I think we're right on the cusp of getting into it. So I think we cut there.
No, we're fine. Yeah, we don't. Yeah. We already did said it. But if you want to see Twitter, Craig's Twitter beefs, you can look on his replies, right?
Yeah. My replies. I've also retweeted a couple things. So just go to @BachelorMasters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our Twitter thread is Craig's Twitter Beefs LLC.
That should be, you know how when you incorporate, usually you have a company name and then do business under a different name. So we could LLC as Craig's Twitter Beef LLC, operating as the Bachelor Masters. There you go.
What about the Maybe Men? Where does that fit in?
That was just a domain name I registered years and years ago. Because, you know, the Yes Men?
Yes.
It was kind of a play. Oh, that's funny.
Oh. See, so I did. Very clever. I thought, like, the Bachelor Masters thing, at first I was like, huh? And then I got it.
So
it was immediately obvious.
If you look at the if you look at Bachelor Masters on your Twitter app, it'll say published by the Maybe Men. It's just a so we self-publish the podcast. We don't use Anchor or Stitcher or anything like that. We do our own web presence, so RSS feed, if you will. So I needed to park it somewhere, so I just used the Maybe Men domain.
Oh, I did wonder what the Maybe Men was, because I had seen it listed as like the author, basically, is what it kind of appears if you're on like the iPhone app thing or whatever. It'll say like Bachelor Masters, the Maybe Men. And I was like, what is the Maybe Men? What is this? And then just never asked.
It's just something I cooked up with Adam. Adam was part of the inception of the Bachelor Masters. The idea was that he was going to be on the podcast when we first started. It was going to be me and Chris, co-host Chris, and then Adam, because Adam's never watched the show. That was going to be the shtick, but it didn't work out. Yeah, it just didn't make sense. So it was just me and Chris for a while. Chris had to go. EZR jumped in at that point. Then it was just me and EZR for a little while, and then Caitlin, you joined us a year,
100 episodes. Divide that by
when were we in Ohio? Was that 2 years ago now? A year and a half.
I think it was about a year and a half ago, okay. If I'm remembering correctly.
Summer
of 20.
Remember how hot it was? Because you know we live in LA. Well, you live on the East Coast, Caitlin, so you know humidity. But it was so humid.
Oh boy, you're there, I know humidity. I live in one of like the most humid parts of, well, no, they're more humid. I went to Savannah in August a few years ago. That's a humid spot.
Yeah.
But yeah, DC metro area is very humid in the summer because it's, I mean, it literally was built on like swampland, a lot of it. Yeah. So it's very, there's some gross summer weather.
Yeah. Okay, so another thing we probably have to get out of the way here is Zach, our position on Zach. People that listen to the podcast.
Wait. Let's go
in
order.
Yeah, we got to. That's like I wanna, a,
Well, I just want to say that we're Zach not a fan a of Zach.
And... Oh, we are not a fan of Zach.
Yeah, people that listen to the podcast know that. If we have new listeners, they might not know that. They might be taken aback.
So why do you want them to stop listening before even hearing any opinions?
I want them
on
to
Zach.
Continue listening because we Bachelor Masters is all about deep deconstruction of what goes on in the show, and we try to back it up with evidence.
Yes, so, and we have lots of evidence. This
this
even just for this one episode, which if you listen back, there's a lot of evidence too.
Yeah, bear with us. We always back up our statements. And there's a lot of love for Zach on Twitter. So that's why I wanted to bring that up.
Okay. So, now, let's get this season over with.
I will say that in the Rose Pricks Discuss group on Facebook, there is not a lot of love for Zach. So if you're listening from the Rose Pricks Discuss, we're on your side.
Yeah.
Well, here's the problem, though. After watching Tuesday's episode last night, I don't remember Monday's episode at all.
Oh, well, I'll remind you, because that's where all the real...
Yeah.
The season finales, just... I thought there was going to be an after the final rose, and they probably... I'm so glad they didn't do it after having watched this dragged out dates and proposals and the parents who seem like they're acting. You know, how did they get rid of two men that seemed good for her plausibly? They didn't do a good job of doing it plausibly, but they did it, right? They did get rid of them.
Yeah.
And I think my favorite biggest lie of the night was when Tayshia said, Ben and Zach are very different. Now, if they hadn't removed one, I might have still gotten, I mean, at this point, I don't get them mixed up, but I still, they are not, they are so similar to me in lots of ways. And not just physically, but also physically, like their faces. Huh. So
I disagree with that a little bit.
Well, now I do. 4 weeks in, I couldn't tell them apart. I know you guys are doing a better job with that, but I could not.
Yeah, I haven't had a problem telling them apart since the first like few episodes. There are several other guys that I feel like are generic, could be any other person. But those two, I didn't get confused.
All right. It's just, I guess it's just their... fame hungry demeanors. So Ivan, Craig, you know, they're very boring ice bath kiss where it was just basically lip touching. Was it really kissing? All that really changed.
I have a lot to
music.
Say about the ice bath thing.
Okay.
Does it relate to ice skating?
It actually does relate to ice skating.
All right, hit the ice skating drop.
I hate it.
That does not sound like ice skates. That, it sounds like someone like putting their fingernails on a chalkboard.
It does sound like it to me, but it's very like the crunchy noise is obviously extremely amped up. But I say exaggerate a little. I don't have a ton to say, but there was a moment in the world's longest, coldest kiss competition situation that reminded me very much of a skating thing, which is so, you know, they're in the ice bath, they're at that part where their mouths are touching, but like they're not moving at all, and it looked pretty awkward, right? Like it was just like they're touching mouths.
No,
they're
awkward.
Yeah, it's like very, yeah, there's no movement at that time, you know, like there was slight movement later, but for a good portion of it, it was like literally no, they weren't kissing, you know what I mean? It was like,
and all very the odd was the music and the voiceovers. Like,
yes.
if you mute it, there was no change throughout. But all of a sudden, then they started, when one of them held another one's shoulder, then they played the romantic music and that, wow, I can't believe we really did that. So it's, there's not really any change throughout. Anyways, go ahead.
So what Tayshia, she's talking to the camera in the middle of this thing. What she says is the change that prompts the music, right? Is that they start synchronizing breathing. Do you remember this?
Yes. Oh, are you going to say that pairs skaters synchronize their breathing?
Oh, exactly. There's a very famous case of two ice dancers, Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer. They're Canadian ice dancers who are the most successful Olympic skaters of all time because they have, it's 5 medals, 3 gold and 2 silver. So they're the ice dance champions of 2010 and 2018. In 2018, people on the internet were going crazy for Virtue and Moyer because their longest dance, like the free dance, the last one you do before the medal ceremony, it was to Moulin Rouge. And people felt very, 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 and I totally get why they feel this way, convinced that these two were in love, right? That like, Virtue and Moyer are in love. They are the sexiest ice dance team. Like there is sexual tension there between them when they're skating, even though the two of them have constantly said for many years, they are not in love like that. They've been partnered since they were 8 and 10 years old or something like that. It's been, it's a 20 year long partnership that they had crushes on each other when they were like preteens and then have never dated. He's engaged to somebody else. So like there's a lot of stories that they talk about their performance, right? And one of the things that they are known for doing is prior to getting on the ice to perform, they synchronize their breathing and stare into each other's eyes. Aww. That's one of their prep things, right? And people are so into them being a couple. Like, this was like the big media frenzy in 2018 that like, if these people aren't dating and having sex with each other, then they should be, right? Because they look so good together and you feel it when they skate together, right? And they're both very consistent on like they love each other as people because they've been together a long time and they're friends and all of that, you know, but that this is a performance that they just happen to be very, very good at performing, right? The synchronizing breathing reminded me of that, this whole idea of like they do it to sort of, you know, they're on the same page, they're syncing up their bodies to perform together. And so the idea that like syncing breathing would then get you more into a kiss does make sense to me actually, because they use it to get more into performance, right? To seem like they're in love with each other.
Yeah. Very interesting. Did you ever couple skate, Caitlin?
No, I was only ever a single skater. Yeah, it's harder. Well, there's a lot of things harder about being in either a pair, which is like where they do jumps and spins still, and ice dancing, which is much more like straight up dancing and choreography. But I mean, the partnership stuff is difficult because you do have to have like, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of comparisons to being in a romantic partnership, right? That you have to have a ton of trust in the person because they're lifting you up and can hurt you very easily, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very to me, that idea of like, you know, the breathing sinking made her feel more into it made perfect sense. Cause it's like, oh, even if it's not, if nothing has actually changed and it's still this guy that it seems to me, especially on their date, that Tayshia never felt a sexual thing with Ivan. You know what I mean? Like the vibe I get is that not she liked him as a person.
Not from that bedding.
Yeah.
Let's get into this grandma bed in our Airstream.
But yeah, this idea that like if you are sinking, breathing and sharing a moment, that it will simulate being in love with somebody, right? Like it's sort of it makes you feel a certain way even if you don't actually feel that way.
Like that Blake and Tayshia date.
I mean, it's impossible for me to think of couples skating without thinking of Blades of Glory, the best movie ever, which you still haven't
about
seen.
Skating.
Yeah, about skating.
That is blanket just best movie. No, I still haven't seen it. I'll put it on my list, Craig.
But maybe this is toxic masculinity for me to say, but I could not imagine being in a couple skating pair and not having a sexual relationship with my partner.
Well, it is very, so this is a thing, right, is that some pair of skaters and ice dancing partnerships are brother and sister teams.
Right,
that's fairly common in the U.S. in particular.
Gross.
Like in the Soviet Union, that was like, no, it's always a romantic vibe. But the U.S. has had very successful brother and sister teams, partially because
it gets rid of the sexual.
Well, not because it gets rid of the sexual.
They're together
thing.
All the time.
Yes, because they're together all the time. They have a bond that is already there. They can trust each other, right? Like, but also, it's hard to find a male partner sometimes because less men skate, right? Yeah. So, like, skating with your brother makes total sense in that because, like, that guy can't leave your partnership very easily, right? Like, like it would be a family issue if they want to leave to go to somebody else. So that's why they do it. But there's also a very long history of non-related partners who do date each other and oftentimes get married simply because like you do have a level of compatibility that you must have to work together for so long, so closely. Like that, you must like each other as people at least. So it is fairly easier to add in this romantic element that, again, you have to be performing all the time. Most of these performances are romantic stories, right? So, like, even if you're not in love with them, you are performing that you're in love with that person literally almost every day of every year that you're together. So it makes sense that you do sometimes actually end up with them.
Okay, enough ice skating talk. But, Izior, what were you laughing so hard about?
Oh, because you said something like, being brother and sister gets rid of the sexual tension. It's just, it sure does. Better. Okay. I want to know what I missed because some religious conversation happened, at least we're led to believe.
I got some bachelor master's knowledge here. So the big question is, what was this religious difference?
Well, wait. Let's preface this by saying, whatever it is, I totally think it was a ploy to get rid of Ivan first, and then the Brendan thing, also a ploy to get rid of him.
It was, someone on Twitter pointed out that the whole episode was edited together out of order from how it really happened. Because if you follow her dresses, at some point she's wearing the jean, one piece jean
thing.
And then
but
she wears it again.
Re-wear that. Yeah, I did notice that, but I thought, well, that's like a loungy at home outfit because you have to take off the whole thing to go pee.
It lends to your theory, though.
Wearing it multiple times because she's worn it in other episodes before too. She wore it at least one other time, like 3 weeks ago or something.
Yeah. Well, anyway, someone on Twitter who has a blue check mark, so someone famous who I have no idea who they were, but she DM'd Ivan, slid into his DMs and said, all of Bachelor Nation needs to know what was the religious difference. And he straight up replied to her. She screen grabbed it that he's not religious and that's not going to work for her. So there you go.
Yeah, I saw that. And what was confusing to me is that both they never showed a conversation about that, right? That, like, that wasn't on camera. And in fact, because I take notes during all these episodes so I don't forget stuff, after their one-on-one date, when Tayshia was doing one of her to-camera things, and they're discussing like how it went, that they talked a lot, they stayed up all night talking, etc. Tayshia says they talked about religion and life goals, and that she feels very comfortable with him. So they did talk about religion, but it's weird that she then says she feels so comfortable with him if, you know, I mean, if the conversation they had was that he's not religious and that's a mismatch, it seems weird to me that she would then say, you know, like, oh, we had a great talk. I felt so comfortable with him.
Well, it's part of the act of, let's see what the producers want me to do. I'll just say all the good things until they want me to dump someone. And honestly, him not being religious goes hand in hand with being okay with bombing people. Just kidding. It doesn't. It should be the opposite. I mean, in real life, it's the opposite, but whatever, I guess. You know, that's to me,
you know,
like...
It makes sense, and it also definitely cleared up, like, after watching last night's episode, I was Googling to be like, what is Ivan's religion? Because the way she says it, it is so unclear what the mismatch is.
Right.
And I was just like, is this a, like, I was spending so much time being like, is this a Protestant Catholic divide that she's wild about?
It did not sound like they were two different religions, because I mean, it did. It could.
Well, look, we know the answer.
We know now. Yeah.
So there, it's solved.
Right. But it's frustrating that they have these ambiguous conversations for us to fill in later, because this whole season was fake in my eyes.
It does seem weird to me that if, and the producers would know at the point that they're cutting Monday's episode, that he's going home in the next one, right? Mm-hmm. That they wouldn't have included some to camera thing from Tayshia saying that, like, as part of their long conversations, that, like, yeah, it came up that she's much more religious than he is, and that could be a potential stumbling block, but she feels good about other things, blah blah blah. Like, yeah, it was weird that they didn't cue it at all before.
Well,
the
there's
thing.
No camera in the Airstream, so they talked about it.
No, don't defend this, Craig, because they I caught them in another misedit. We can, and this has to do with Zach.
Okay,
of course. Okay, so they're so lazy producers. They left in him trying to work out lines.
We'll do some exploring. I can't wait to explore. Maybe that.
Maybe that.
I can't wait to explore. That's the one thing. Let's
use that one.
Today. Just explore. Explore.
Oh, the maybe that is such a lazy. It would have been so easy for them to use the good take that he clearly gave them there, right? That, like, he says it without the maybe that in it, and they could have just done that, but instead they left in this weird, like, stream of consciousness.
Well, they also, and then he has to weigh every line, because he knows that's how he gets to the women, the cishet women of America. If I'm lucky enough to get in the fantasy suite, if she'll take me and allows me to propose, like, what? So these women want someone who respects the line, but also are that are changeable as men, and also want kids. You know, the whole line of Tayshia fixed me. So let's hear that. That frustrated me so much.
I can confidently say I've never felt this strongly, this quickly, this easily. It's like there was a wire that was disconnected inside me, and Tayshia took the wire and she went,
shut up.
And it, like, turned me on.
Even his underbite looks fake to me now. Like, he forces it to make up for a lack of personality. I
do not think he's forcing his underbite.
I know, but
I feel like that's not. Like,
he does, like, a face that accentuates it to look more.
He does a face, like, that accentuates rough, it, but I feel tough. Like, that's just a weird personal tick. You know, I don't think it's, like, a thing that he's doing on purpose to be like, I'm going to accentuate underbite because America loves underbite.
Well,
and then Tayshia, well, to just round out this point, the Tayshia lines are right in line with what we're saying, where she is backing up all of his, he loves me. He genuinely loves me. I believe it.
I think what feels the best is like the sincerity behind him saying I love you.
I love his sincerity.
The way he says it is just so intentional and natural and organic, and it's just like
sincere, intentional, organic.
Yeah, it's like so intentional, and you can feel like there's so much emotion and meaning behind it all.
Emotion.
You know he doesn't take it lightly. He's not just saying it just to say it.
Oh yeah, he is.
Okay, what's the problem with that?
She's telling us, believe him. He's being sincere, intentional, organic, emotional. Believe that. I don't believe it.
And so what's weird to me is that I think she said a very similar thing about Bennett when Bennett came back, and he did, which was also watching when Ben came back. And I was like, Ben's thing is literally a carbon copy of Bennett's move from a few episodes ago. Like literally the exact same thing. But I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, after Bennett came and did his declaration of love, Tayshia's interview stuff about it was something along the lines of like, oh, I believe him. I believe he's in love with me. And it feels great to hear that. And also like, he wouldn't say it just to say it, blah, blah. And I was like, he absolutely would say it just to say it, because like Bennett, first of all, like that whole thing was the weirdest storyline to be like, bring him back for like 10 minutes. And then,
it's,
you know,
recycled. Right. It's just recycled. Yeah,
but lines I think it was exactly moves. The same type of thing as she said. And I'm like, it 100% didn't ring true with Bennett to me, because of course that's what he said. That's what they say to get back in the show when they think they're either in danger of leaving or they've already been kicked out and they're trying to get back in.
Right. The show always talks about how now that the drama's over, let's get to the love. And in this case, they totally forced us twice with the drama that went nowhere. Once Ben came back and she cut Ivan, why did we watch an hour of nothing? Of what was the point of that?
Okay. Let's stick with Zach here.
Okay.
Against my better judgment, let me defend Zach a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been in recovery for 9 years. And I'm not in any way knocking his addiction or recovery. I'm using it to defend him, which is, I think in recovery programs, you learn how to talk kind of eloquently. Like, I think what part of what makes me uncomfortable with him is he's too well-spoken. And he talks way too much. He's constantly saying things over and over. But that could be editing, because, you know, the producers ask the same question over and over. And maybe they wanted him to look like he talks too much because they think he talks eloquently. But I think in recovery programs, you learn that speak because you constantly in group sessions talking about yourself. So can't believe I'm going to say this, but wasn't his proposal sincere?
So I would like to pick up this thread too, because I have felt like I'm softer on Zach than the two of you are, particularly since last week. I do think, to me, I mean, there is sort of a rehearsed kind of thing sometimes, especially with when he was meeting her family and he has the conversation with Tayshia's dad.
That
right?
was painful. And like, I was like, let the guy talk.
Yeah, it's like he's saying the things that like this is a good speech to give to Tayshia's dad, right? But it was clearly like a speech. Yeah. But I do think from seeing the two of them together, I do think she's attracted to him. I don't think it's entirely like fake in that way, right? That it does seem, it seems like there's some chemistry between the two of them in that way. And I do feel like he's not, my sense would be that some of this stuff that sounds so like ridiculously over the top, fake, rehearsed, some of that is producer stuff too, right? Because they're coaching him to say things a certain way or to like repeat it to get the good line or whatever, right? That there's an aspect of that in there too. And I did feel like watching last night's episode that I was like, at this point, when you're choosing between Ben and Zach, I would absolutely choose Zach because Ben is boring in a way. You know what I mean? Like, they're both kind of boring, but the choice between those two guys, I'm like, well, Zach seems more interesting. Ben seems sort of like a piece of cardboard in this. So yeah, like I was like, she should choose Zach. That's the more obvious choice here.
Well, I think that's a little bit of a red herring because she had her eyes on Zach the whole time since day one. I mean,
He's been either the top guy or one of the two top guys the whole time, depending on whether or not you think like what was going on with Brendan, right? Like whether or not that's who she was priming to be the top guy or not, which is hard to say.
I am taking the cheaters theory all the way. Cheaters TV show theory all the way to the finish line. I think that the strain of having, I don't understand why they had to, but having to record during a global pandemic, their first Bachelorette dropping out.
Do you have a cha-ching money drop? Because that's the reason.
Okay, Mr. Morning Zoo. No.
Of course they're going to record the money thing. Pandemic.
Well, I think that what they're doing is they're reverting back to the tried and true ways of the Bachelor franchise / reality TV. And they are the easiest way is to control the narrative, because when you're losing control of everything else, you can't just let the lead go with something. And they could put anyone in that spot where Tayshia is, any past contestant, and they could even have put Tayshia there and she might have made the predictable choices. I think it's a bad precedent because it shows people that they really do still have control despite all the supposedly how much more understanding we have of social media, reality TV, and that mismatch and the players in it. They can really control any narrative. If that's what they're taking away, then we are in for worse and more of this.
Did you watch the preview for The Bachelor?
A little bit of it.
I watched the whole thing, of course.
That looks pretty awesome.
You know what that looked like? The part at the beginning, especially, it looked old school throwback.
Yeah, that's why
even the editing. Yeah, it looked pre 2013, I want to say, is like old school reality TV and then this new guard. Yeah. But it's back, everybody.
Yeah, people fighting
I
with
loved
each other.
That they opened with the shower shot of him, the obligatory Bachelor shower shot that you must have of them like wet, shirtless, thinking about stuff. So I was like, oh, yeah, there it is. We already have it. You know they're going to open, like, the first episode with that kind of thing, too. But, and yeah, that they already told you who at least one of the villains is in just that preview.
Yeah. I couldn't tell. But there were so many sloppy loose ends on this season. One of them being that Brendan date triggered only Brendan, even though Tayshia already had a bride freak out.
Yeah, that was for that whole date.
Wait, are we moving on to Brendan now?
Well, I think we're going to come back to the ending of the whole show, right? But like, yeah, the Brendan date was so clearly their daytime date is they go to meet and hang out with Neil Lane, look at jewelry, and then pick out engagement rings. And I was like, okay, so the other two men get an actual activity, although it was ice bath and the obligatory painting with your body kind of date. But again, like, not the same, you know what I mean? Like, they're clearly setting up the whole confrontation about him not being totally ready.
Right.
But it is weird that...
Which supports EZR's theory.
Yeah, it is weird that Tayshia had the freak out with the wedding dresses on the Zach one-on-one, right? So she already had a thing about, you know, being a bride again and talking about her divorce stuff. She has zero issues with, like, putting on the engagement rings and talking about that. And they also have the moment on their last night's episode, not Monday's, on the last date with Zach where they're doing the dancing lesson, where she's acting weird and talking about like how, you know, she's suddenly having a freak out. And it just seemed very weird to me that like the times that she has them, I guess, supports EZR's thoughts, because she's not freaked out about the engagement rings with Brendan, but she is freaked out about learning like a dance routine that you could do at a wedding with Zach.
Yeah. Mm. And dressing up in couture bridal dresses. I can't believe anything. I think it's so mishmashed together, the, you know, oh, well, this bothers you, and then this bothers you. It reminds me of when, you know, you just didn't work on a paper until the weekend before it's due, and you had a month, and you are just, you have two good points, and the rest of it better fit in. And there are too many eyes on this for it to all fit in well, right? Because these are plot holes. These are like obvious plot holes that they do get a lot of validation for, because in the end, everyone's like, well, she ended up with Zach and she's happy. And like you guys said, like his proposal seems sincere, so nothing else matters, blah, blah, blah. Like we have to wash over all these things that we saw that are incongruent. The weird part here was when Brandon said goodbye, he kissed her one too many times for me to believe that she is sincerely wants to leave. I didn't feel like, and I don't think they're unwanted kisses. That's not my point. I want to make clear that I think he was forced to leave.
So you think like either the producers or Tayshia or some combination of both sort of set up his departure?
I don't know why he was on The Bachelor per se. Like maybe he was on there for love, but I think this half a season, three quarters of a season is too overly produced for him to fit the narrative that they were ready for. So he like didn't quite know how to navigate it. And so he, you know, kind of was like, well, okay, I guess they're forcing me to leave now. Goodbye. It felt like a war goodbye, you know, like I'm being deployed. See you, you know, bye forever. I don't know why in real life. Hey, I'll help you get through it.
So you know what?
Have to get engaged. We can, you can give me a promise ring. We can figure it out. This is not, that makes no sense.
She didn't like him.
She did too.
I think
not
she liked him.
Not as much as Zach.
I don't think she liked him as much for her brand as Zach.
I agree with all that you're saying, EZR, no doubt. But I think the wrench in your argument, it's always going to come down to the fact that she actually really likes Zach. You can't get around that.
I think there's a balancing act going on here where whose story is more compelling, and Zach's story is more compelling for selling diet pills or whatever they sell, you know, the facial masks. And so I think that there is extreme branding behind it. And I feel bad for her. I don't think this is the fact that Tayshia's dad went there and really said nothing, that was a setup. The parents looked, isn't it weird how, you know, when you were younger and people would do PowerPoints, I think us, especially at around the time when we were growing up. So like I was born in the 80s. Craig was, Caitlin, were you, or like early 90s?
Oh, I was born in the 80s.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
So I think when we were growing up in the 80s, we can tell when someone was, you know, when we were in middle school, high school, we could tell when someone was reading off a PowerPoint. We can tell when people were reading. Now, reading off of something is so common that it looks almost natural. But to me, the parents' lines were so unnatural.
Yeah.
And I don't think that... I think that if we really thought about what a genuine reaction looks like and what kind of a frozen, I'm on TV, stilted thing is versus what, you know, I think those two, I think we're kind of so conditioned to people reading off something that we don't see how they're all acting as in not how they're behaving, but how they are literally acting. I think the biggest F you to Tayshia for everything, I don't want to say they put her through. I don't know if they, how complicit she was. But imagine if they made Brendan, oh my gosh, his name, The Bachelor.
Oh my God.
The argument would be moot to her, right? Because, yeah.
So I had one thing to say about, well, I guess I have so many things I could say about Brendan, because he was of the top guys that were left at the beginning of this week. He's the one I would have been rooting for to win, both because I think he's the cutest of the guys who made like top four, right? Because it did, like, I did see them liking each other, right? Like, I bought that completely, that they were into each other. But when he says, you know, at the speech, like, they have their date and then they do the speech where he's basically saying, like, he's not ready to be engaged again. He's not ready to be in, like, a serious relationship. He says this one thing about how she deserves a man who has healed from his past trauma, and that's not him right now, right? And the minute he said that, I wrote it down because I was like, that's not any of these guys, though. If you're looking for somebody who has had past trauma and is like, this person is ready to move on, like, they're totally healed, I was just like, Ben
once
needs
again,
a lot of therapy
for
his, right?
To defend Zach. Because well, he's had 9 Zach, years to recover.
Okay, you're right. But Zach is still, there's still stuff you can always work on. And it felt very much like, yeah, it felt like a weird thing to say when, I mean, I guess presumably, you know, Brendan doesn't know what these guys talk about Tayshia with, so he wouldn't know that what the audience knows, which is that, like, Ben for sure needs to go to therapy. But, like, that, yeah, this idea that, like, he's too broken to be, like, a good fiancé for her at this time. And I'm like, all of these guys have issues, right? So it's not, to me, it didn't feel like, yeah, when I was listening to that, I was on EZR's side in terms of me being like, so just date each other, don't get engaged, you know, like, just leave the show with Brendan and date him then, you know, like, you don't need to get married this second. But it's like what Tayshia's dad was saying to her too, to be like, you don't have to get married right now.
Is that what he was saying? I did not understand anything that any, like, they made it sound like he was gonna say, do not pick name, insert name here. And then yes, he didn't really say anything. And I was like, this is such a setup. I feel bad for this family. You know, they are, I don't know if they're pawns. They might be completely okay with it. And that's fine. Okay. That's fine. But if they're pawns, I am pissed for them.
I think the way I read her dad, when he comes back to have the, like, separate convo with her after the dates, is that, yeah, I was a little confused because the way he started out, it sounded like he was going to issue a warning to be like, don't choose this one specific person, you know? Yeah. And then they don't, if he did that, they don't show it. You know what
well,
I mean?
They,
like, he doesn't name a person. He doesn't, and it's not totally clear when he's saying, like, you know, you don't want, you make a mistake and you don't need to rush things or
what
whatever.
What was the advice? Was the advice you don't need to rush things? Okay, I didn't get that.
I think the way I sort of took it is that the general advice was, yeah, like, you don't have to get engaged right this second. Oh. That's not.
Well, that's
and that's
kind
of what he said on Colton's season, too, right? When Colton met her dad and he was kind of like, he had this line that I remember because my friend Jocelyn, you know, the Bachelorette super fan Jocelyn, also brought this up to me a few weeks ago. Her dad said, you can't microwave a relationship. And that was him saying, like, you shouldn't be on a show where you rush this kind of thing because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't work. And I feel like that's kind of the same thing he was saying in this one, to say, like, you know, if you want to make sure that your next engagement is, like, you're going to get married and it's going to be a long-lasting relationship, then you don't have to get engaged until you're 100% sure that you're ready.
But it does work. Jade and Tanner have 3 kids now.
It works when it works, Carly, but it doesn't have to work every time. And those two were Bachelor in Paradise, by the way, where you have a lot more options than.
Yeah,
you have a lot more
there's success stories, but the rate is not super high of success, if that makes sense. Right? Like,
the
there
percentage
are people
isn't
who
high.
Get together and stay together and have kids and all that stuff, but it is a very small percentage of the people who have been on these franchise shows.
Yeah, well, JoJo. She's still together.
I mean, still together, Rachel, until they break up.
They've been together for a long time by now.
Wasn't there a scene of her squatting down crying when Brendan left that they didn't, they only showed us in the previews, but then they didn't show us this at during the episode?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. It's hard to remember because she's done the squat down and cry a few times this season.
And maybe I'm confused. But I just thought that was more, you know, they didn't have enough time. They wanted to make sure to ram the Zach storyline down our throat. So they cut everyone off so unprofessionally, so not well. So like, okay, all of a sudden there was a religious talk you didn't hear by all of us, you know, there was I guess I'm not over having been married. I could have told you for 8 weeks, but telling you now, bye. You know, it just, it's like a parody. It's like the end of a comedy movie where mm-hmm. people show up and, you know, the end of Wayne's World or something where they're like, oh, hi, you know, you're, it just reminded me of an SNL end. Craig, I cut this out just for you because whenever we talk about surrealism.
You actually cut that out.
Huh?
You actually cut that clip out. That's great.
Yeah, because when we talk about that reminds me of surreal. If we should play it in every art class in the country.
Yeah, this is what surreal is.
Yeah, see, I agree with you that what was weird about it to me, too, is if we're thinking the narrative is she's going to end up with Zach, and so they're setting all of that up, it seems very odd to include after the breakup with Brendan, and she says, like, this is the guy that she first was most interested in, and also that she thought was the one that she would probably end up with, right? And I guess, you know, it's supposed to be like a red herring to be like, she's in love with multiple of these guys. But like, if she was thinking throughout her time that like, Brendan's her number one, right? Then it is very weird to decide to get engaged to your number two, like a few days later.
Well, that's the MO of every lead. Oh, my number one doesn't like me. I'm going to console myself. And that is actually a true thing that happens in real life. You console yourself with the person who loves you.
But Zach was her number one.
There's debate,
the
right? That like
nth time.
Craig, do you honestly believe that she did not like Brendan as her number one? Like, think about, I understand, ignore the proposal because that was after the fact. From before the time they met up with Neil Lane, TN.
Look, I think, we've been talking about this for 20 minutes. I think our points have been made, but the thing with Zach is we will never know what she sees in him, but she saw it in him all along. He was always going to win. I don't believe for a second that
you don't
Brendan
think...
was number one.
Okay, no, wait. In real, average phlebotomist working at Kaiser Permanente meets these two men. One, a recovering addict. One, a commercial roofer who looks like Brendan. You tell me who she picks.
A commercial roofer who looks like Brendan. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, Brendan is, to me, a much cuter dude, right? So,
he's
like, it makes more
dude.
Sense than
he's
that.
He's a much more successful
respect.
Man.
Does Zach even have a job other than recovering addict?
He's on the board.
Yeah, he's yeah, he works at like the sober house and he's on the board.
Well, we don't know
that,
for a fact if he works at the sober house. Being on the board does not mean you work at the place.
Right.
True.
It just means
some
you
people
have
do
input.
Have like, you know, a job when you're on the board kind of thing. But yeah, see, I think.
Wait,
what you're
Craig,
saying, Craig,
who do you pick?
Is that Zach is the number one the whole time, right?
Wait, hold on.
I have to.
Let's go back. We got to go back to this phlebotomist thing.
Yeah.
So
I mean, she was a phlebotomist, Craig.
You're drawing their blood, and you're trying to make small talk. So
no,
you're like, oh, well, what do you do? What do you do?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I'm a recovering addict.
That's literally what he says on his Chiron, is that he what he does.
And then, you know, Brandon comes waltzing in. She goes, oh, well, what are you doing? He goes, I'm a commercial roofer.
And you look like a beautiful model, and you're an ex-collegiate basketball player.
He was a collegiate basketball player?
I think I heard that. Wow,
that's cool.
But
I feel like
holy
I heard that
fuck,
too.
Am I in backwards world? Hell yes, you pick Brandon. Like, yes.
But I'm not saying that's what people would pick. I'm just saying for whatever brain chemistry is going on in Tayshia's head, Zach was the one. There's nothing we can do about that.
I think Brandon
was the
one. We
might disagree, and we do, but it's the truth.
See, but Craig, she said that Brendan was the one. You know what I mean? Like, that's
no.
We're not just saying
no,
that we're guessing.
She did say
but
that.
She did say in one of her interviews that this is the person she thought she was going to get engaged to.
Okay.
So we
all
can
right.
believe her or not believe her, I guess. But
right.
she did explicitly
she could say that.
Mention it.
She could exactly. She could say that exact same. You know, they could have done their jobs for once and actually cut out. You know, she could have recorded that for every single man, and just used it for Brendan because he left.
Right.
But
yeah,
I do think, and here I go, on Tayshia again. Yes, Brendan is my number one. Even everybody, this is public record or whatever. Go back to our countdown episode where we choose the men. I chose Brendan for Claire when we were talking where we thought Claire was going to be the bachelorette. I chose Brendan. I am Tayshia. Yes.
Who got the first? Who got Tayshia's first impression, Rose? Do we remember?
Spencer.
Spencer.
At like number
yeah.
seven or something.
Okay. Right. Okay. Look, can we pause for a second and speculate
no.
on right. what the mom was drinking in her 16-ounce glass. Do you remember this? Maybe our listeners don't remember this, but when Ben met Tayshia's parents, Tayshia's mom was drinking out of a 16-ounce glass. That's the big one you get. If you're at the airport and you order a beer, they always try to upsell you to the 16-ounce. You know what I'm talking about? And it looked like wine, full 16-ounce glass of wine, but it could have been a light beer, and it could have been apple juice.
It wasn't foamy enough to, but it could be, yeah, it could have been like a non-foamy beer.
It could have been an alcoholic cider, you know, like a hard cider, because they don't foam, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well,
there's a bar in San Francisco that only serves ciders. They have like every kind of cider, peach, apricot. Pretty fun.
I do. German, I love a
the heat Ashbury.
Craig, who do you pick? The commercial roofer or the addict, former addict on the board? Tell me. Just tell me. You're
you know who I would pick because I don't like Zach.
I didn't know you didn't. Brendan. You're defending him. But I'm saying
I'm defending him because
you're a cishet.
I'm trying to be
20 something.
I'm trying to be true to the show here for the podcast.
There, okay, ignore, I don't see more chemistry between Zach and Brendan, I mean, Zach and Tayshia and Brendan, especially on their first date. I don't see more chemistry between them. I saw a proposal, so that's progress, you know, in terms of a relationship.
Yeah, but we don't know what happened in the fantasy suite,
they,
you know.
One of them, nothing happened, and one of them, something happened, but that doesn't... pre-sex, there's chemistry. Pre-sex.
But Ivan.
Okay, wait a minute. That's a good point, Craig.
Ivan didn't have a fantasy suite.
Zach. Ivan did have a fantasy.
Well,
suite.
He did
we
have
saw
one. He had
Zach.
The Airstream trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And
sorry, I got mixed up with Ivan there for a second.
We saw Zach and Tayshia rolling around in the paint. So let's just pretend that's a fantasy suite. Come on, did you see a lot of like sexual?
Yes.
I didn't. I didn't buy that. I did not.
I
that.
Did buy.
You're killing
it.
Me.
I bought it, and it was. One
I
of
bought
those
that
they're
COVID.
Me...
They're like enclosed, but I didn't like. No. Other than that, no.
See, to me, what has been so confusing about Zach throughout since Tayshia came on board, and it became clear that he was like, you know, one of the top guys at least, right? Is that he just didn't seem like attractive, right? Like physically, I'm saying. Not that he's like, you know, a bridge troll or something, but like compared to a lot of these other guys who are just like traditionally very handsome, it was sort of like weird in that way. And that he does often come across sort of, I think a good example of the thing, like it's hard to describe what I'm saying, but I was like, he has a weird vibe, which is like a very hard thing to nail down. But on Monday's episode, when he gets like the date card about exploring, and you played that clip about him like trying to get the great line with exploring. Yeah. The way he talked about exploring, I was like, you give me a creepy vibe, even though I know exactly why. Like, the card says exploring because it's supposed to connote a sexual exploration. We all get it. But then he's saying it repeatedly, and I'm like, please stop saying it. You're making me feel weird. But then he also did this, like, Matthew McConaughey impression during the episode.
Do you remember that moment?
Yeah.
And
so
that
gross.
Moment, I was just like, you have just gone down in attractiveness again. Because, like, no, don't do that. It's not funny, and it makes me think that you're less cute. But there is a point here where I have always bought that Tayshia is into him. And the confusing thing to me was like, why would she be into him when I don't like his vibe and I don't think he's that cute? I think what has been happening to me over the past few episodes in terms of thinking about Zach, like you remember last week when I said I thought he looked cute for a moment and you both freaked out. I think what's happening to me is what is happening to a lot of Bachelor Nation people, right? Is that when you see somebody like Tayshia, Tayshia is like a popular girl in school, right? Like she's beautiful. She seems very nice. She's got charisma. When you see somebody like that and they say they're into this person automatically seems more attractive to other people because you have to assume, right? Like he must have something because Tayshia likes him and she's like, you know, if you're going Craig's number scale, it's like Tayshia's an extremely high number. So if she's into this guy, he has something that makes him attractive. And so then everyone else looks at him and thinks like, I guess he's attractive because an attractive person is into him.
Explore.
Ugh. I just destroy your whole argument. No, I'm kidding. I'm Jordan Peterson. Look.
Jordan Peterson.
Yeah, that's, you know, whenever you see one of his videos, he just destroyed this liberal with his logic and facts. I don't know. Anyway, never mind, Craig. Okay. Okay, Caitlin. Yes, the point system, and I feel like we've gone over a few of these things already, but I just want to reiterate that Tayshia, this is going to be a very short summary of my, like, balls of argument I've made in past episodes, but basically a woman of color living in the area where she lives, areas like that, specifically Orange County. You put white men on this pedestal, and so if they're a little bit mysterious and how society views them in Orange County, there is like almost like a leveling, you know, so it's not quite how other people view what the choices Tayshia makes. It might be, now I'm just saying this as like, you know, women of color living in Orange County specifically, they view someone like Zach through everyone else's eyes and how they might view him as kind of a too cool tough guy vibe kind of thing. And I think that veneer, that screen to me is down. I cannot, and not just that, you know, I don't see him as how everyone could see him, but I'm also taking him down a few pegs because he thinks he's up there.
Right.
Does that make sense what I just said? Because I want to say one more thing.
Like, I get what you're saying, like, especially with the coming from the place that she does in this atmosphere where she's talked about being like one of the only people of color in like her friends group or whatever else, right? That like that she would see white guys in a different way. Whereas as me, a white woman looking at Zach, I'm like, that's an average guy. You know,
I'm going to recycle a line I told you personally, Caitlin, but like Dude, the dude looks like he smells bad after he takes a shower. He really does. Like, I am so... I cannot...
He licks his lips too much.
Ugh, he's just... Yeah, he's crusty. He's, like, not... He doesn't... So, she sees him up there, and I feel like... Eventually... I don't know what their Instagram career is going to be like, because it could go more, even better than we think or that they hope. But it, she might get shaken back into reality, because in, you know, if we put nuclear winter comes and we get decimated, that guy is back to being a zero. So I don't take, you know, so I don't have these societal like views of him, I think. And I don't think you guys are. Or have those, but right. I think there's something there that has to do strictly with how other people see him, how society works. He might have been like the dad of the house, if that makes sense, or like the alpha of all the alpha males in the house.
Like, yeah, I feel like he was respected. Something also that is very hard to tell on TV, right? That like watching them together, people are always like, oh, it looks like they have chemistry. There's also a chance like he's a charismatic person in person and it doesn't translate onto film or TV, if that makes sense.
I mean, people do, though. People do think he's charismatic enough. Someone must.
True. Yeah, I was like, I don't find it very translating to us. But yeah, that there is a chance that he is better in person than how we perceive him on TV. And I think there's also... It's like returning to your point super quickly about Tayshia seeing him up high, that there is also that societal thing where it's super common for women to date men who are much more average looking than they are, right? That like on all those TV shows where it's like some random guy, oh, his wife is a beautiful supermodel, basically, right?
Yeah. but factor in the fact that she's that she has felt probably less than her whole life in that particular environment is even like you can even go lower than you think.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a point, and it's
you're
something
just reinforcing
that, like,
my point system.
Correct. I'm saying lower in a 3D way, but yeah, I guess we could go on the like, you know, 1 through 10. But yeah, essentially, yes, Craig, that's true. In terms of, I think it's more the point system, if we like can revamp it, can value women like this higher. You know, we can consciously rebrand it if we're going to do the Instagram like talk.
Tayshia,
you know,
already scores really high.
Okay, great.
Okay, we've talked about Zach for a lot. Do we have anything else we can talk about so we don't have to talk about Zach anymore?
You can talk about Neil Lane. Did that make you mad? Have you seen Hidden Gem?
Well, no. I cannot.
I've been wanting to.
This is just me and my politics. I think you probably agree with me, EZR, but we've talked about this before on the pod, but I cannot look at any diamond anymore. Any diamond. And not think blood diamonds out of Africa. So, you know, these huge diamonds, Neil Lane's like, oh, yeah, this is a, you know, lover's cut. It's the most unique cut. And there's like 50 other diamonds on the ring. I'm just like, who died and what dictator in Africa is profiting from Neil Lane here and his giddy diamond company?
Yeah, I can't. I mean, there's always been there's so many problems in The Bachelor, and this is what we're talking about with the disconnect of like something that's so old fashioned but so completely riddled with issues that you cannot avoid, and this is one of them. And if no one, and if everyone who's, you know, saying that, oh, we're not acknowledging this one thing of this one person of color, and then you're okay with diamonds, and you know the complete cognitive dissonance is so, it's beyond satire, it's beyond any, it's exactly what was predicted, I guess. Everyone's always predicted like a backwards world where you only stand for the symbols and not the actual actions on the ground. But to have it so in our face, thanks to social media, is like, I mean, I guess it's because everyone can say something. What's happening?
Yeah. Well put. Well put, EZR. Caitlin, do you have any thoughts?
On Neil Lane?
the entire diamond industry and the wedding industrial complex.
Yeah, I mean, not too different from what y'all said. It is something that it always sort of surprises me how much people get into, like, the massive ring design and things like that. And I don't know if this is just because I'm not, like, I don't actually like to wear rings. I feel like they feel weird on my hands to me, so it's not a thing I regularly do. But I've never been like, ooh, I'd love a honking big diamond on there. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, oh, that's going to get caught on stuff and be annoying as hell. Like, I'd rather not have a ring like that. But most people do not feel the way I feel, I assume.
Well, it's also, isn't it weird that it's not, it doesn't do anything? You know, diamonds are great for like drilling teeth, for example, because they're very resistant. But like, for example, gold is a good conductor of things. So you can see why it's valuable. It's a good metal. It's a good alloy. But where is the value in something? Just, is it the rarity? You know, I don't understand. And, you know, of course, all those things they're talking about, a cut, you know, these are the things you wear during your, that's all hallmarks. Manufactured,
well, De Beers manufactured.
No, what I'm saying is, you know, Hallmark created holidays. De Beers created, this is the cut. This is the thing that, you know, you do this for this. So that way, there's some kind of semblance of tradition. It has nothing to do with any tradition. It's just capitalism selling. It's just straight up capitalism.
Right.
But yeah, it's the same thing with almost everything in the world, I guess, but also even with like the white wedding dress thing and how like that was not a color traditionally for anybody until like Queen Victoria did it the first time. And it was just like she liked it. You know what I mean?
But that is at the very least, if we're going to like, you know, if tradition is anything, at least that's tradition.
That's true. There are things that are very traditional. Like a historical event that you could pin it to. I do want to say, speaking on wedding rings for a moment, I wrote these down because I know people care about such things, but I noticed specifically in the Matt James preview, they show him looking at the ring that he's going to propose with, you know, I noticed what cut it was because it is a cut I have heard people make fun of frequently. It appears as though he is planning on proposing with a pear-shaped diamond, which was a thing on Sex and the City where they were like, they don't know me at all if they think it's a pear shape. A lot of people hate them, is what I'm saying.
Huh. Well, here's another layer to the whole Neil Lane thing. His jewelry is like straight up ugly. And everyone who's had a Neil Lane, like, who's had a Neil Lane.
Yeah, it's not a thing I would like.
You know people who have had a Neil Lane?
No, on The Bachelor, their rings have been traded in tastefully. They'll say something because Neil Lane will come with only three options. Pick from my three worst sellers. You can have it for 2 years unless you know.
And pick from my three worst. I mean, it's true. They are probably the ones that are not. Like, did you see the ring that Zach chose? They show it really quickly. It's like, Neil says it's an emerald cut one. And it's a really like big center diamond with a bunch of other little diamonds around it, which is like, it's a ring you've seen on Instagram 20,000 times. It's not unique in any way.
Right. But then, you know, wasn't it you told me that, Craig, that JoJo switched her rings, but they did it in a very, you know, not to offend anyone way.
People switch up their rings a lot, though. Like when
do they?
I don't know. If you go to,
if you pick the ring that you like, why would you? Okay. Well, I guess they do.
Because the woman is not usually there when the man picks out the ring. So what's the name of the big diamond company?
De Beers?
No, like the retail stores.
Robbins Brothers?
I think there's K Jewelers. Uh-huh. They have those commercials. And then there's,
it's the one that's known for their customer service. Well, anyway, like you can trade in your ring and it's like they make a big point out of it.
Oh.
You can. They make a big point that you can, after you propose, you can bring it back in and get a different one.
Yeah, which they have to, because a lot of times, if you're going with the surprise angle, the wearer of the ring does not know what it looks like. It seems like right. pretty frequently people pick stuff that their spouse actually didn't like that much.
Right. So EZR, just pointing that out because.
Okay. Well, you might be right, but I still think they're ugly. Even within all our talk about how extremely, you know, blood, symbolically blood filled they are, they're also not, you know, for that that's yeah. what you killed a bunch of people for.
We talked about this on a couple of podcasts ago, but
yeah,
Caitlin, the answer was no, but I can't remember easier. Have you ever had a guy give you a ring?
Talking to me?
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I've had guys, quote, propose.
But never with a ring.
But can you imagine? Okay, Craig, you know me. You know I don't keep my mouth shut. Do you think any guy would dare?
Well, there's other gemstones. The time will right, come, okay. And you know De Beers is figuring this out. They're figuring out how to weather this transition. Someday, diamonds will not be what you give.
Right,
it'll be all other gemstones because there's other gemstones that come from like Utah.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I have had a makeshift promise ring that was turquoise because that's my birthstone.
Oh.
But I don't really like jewelry or turquoise on me personally, but I didn't know what to, like it doesn't does it count? I don't know.
Did you say yes? Did you wear the promise ring?
I don't wear jewelry.
So you're like, thanks, but no thanks.
Well, I don't know what I was supposed to do with it. I got a twist tie once from the grocery store. I legit got a twist tie once and I wore it. So I don't know what.
Oh my gosh.
Stuff. That's a true story.
I think you have a good point though, Craig, that like diamonds are becoming, especially for some people, like it's not going to be the ring that a lot of people propose with. Because, you know,
it's
like
only a matter of time.
Yeah, like the hipper thing is to use a different type of gemstone than a diamond. And even like going back to Princess Diana's wedding engagement ring was like a gigantic blue stone. I'm assuming like a sapphire or something, right? It wasn't a gigantic diamond. It was a gigantic big other thing.
Have you ever seen that movie about the true story of them robbing the De Beers vault? You ever seen this?
No.
I don't think so.
Sounds like a Dwight plot.
This guy was like he spent his whole life masterminding this robbery because he was, I don't know, somehow slighted by them when he was young and like emptied their vault of all the diamonds.
And that's true. Yeah. Like he got like shooed out of a store. So he's like, for the rest of my life.
I'm pretty sure it's a true story. It's starring what's his name?
So he got, wait, was it because he got like, excuse me, sir, you don't look like you're
I don't know. I can't really remember the details. I haven't seen it. So, but you know, he became like an employee of the company and did all this stuff to like set it all up.
I love people who hold grudges forever. That's me.
Hey, that's me too.
I'll do it.
I hold grudges for sure.
Even if you
all
tell
of
me
you on Twitter, beware. Yeah.
If you tell me that you've held a grudge against something for a long time and you want me in and I just hear the story for the first time, I will do it. Like whatever it is, I get it. I'm with you.
If I ever need
not to make any sense to
revenge
me.
On someone, I'll come to you.
Thank you. I have a truck. You can trust me. I'll whatever you want me to load in it.
Okay. Anyway, what's next? Anything? We got to start wrapping up here. Should we do the fashion roundup?
Well,
I've got fashion stuff.
We can do fashion stuff. I just wanted to make sure if you have any parting thoughts on for me and, you know, my last thought on Ben and Zach. They looked similar to me because they were two peas in the same pod. They were Ben and Zach.
Social media influencer. She's in it for
they are.
That's a good way to wrap up. That's good. Yeah. Let's leave it there.
One thing I wanted to say quickly about Ben before the fashion roundup, because it made me laugh when, you know, at the very end of Monday night's episode, and then they replay it on Tuesday. He says he loves her, blah, blah, blah. And she goes to talk to the producers in the other room. And she sounds so pissed off when she says, I have a rose ceremony in an hour. What am I supposed to do with that? The way she says that is like she's disgusted.
And then she makes out with him. So
yeah, very weird move. I was like, she sounds pissed off and like gross, ew, I don't want it. But then I guess they decide, well, Brendan's gone, just sub in this other guy for a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, it would more evidence on top of our pile of why this whole thing is just incongruent.
Okay.
Okay.
This is the Fashion Roundup. Craig likes to talk about what people are wearing.
I did not like Tayshia's proposal dress. She's very symmetrical, and so I didn't like that she was wearing a dress that was not symmetrical.
I mean, she wears a lot of the one shoulder. She's done that a lot, and Claire loved those too. That was another, like, Claire was into them. I liked it. It wasn't my favorite thing that she's worn, but I liked the back. When they show the back, there's like a ribbon detail that's like going through a bunch of different holes, and I was like, oh, that's a nice detail. It's a nice dress. Easier, how did you feel about the proposal dress?
I didn't even notice. I just saw. I didn't know. Change the subject. I don't know what's going on. I just don't notice.
I have a comment on Zach's proposal outfit. So I thought the blue suit perfectly fine, nice color blue. But I was honestly a little disappointed he didn't wear sneakers with this one, because even though I've ragged on him for wearing sneakers with suits a lot, that's like his style, right? Like, that's his thing. He loves his sneakers. And I was just like, you should have worn them for a proposal, because it's your thing. It's like you, you know?
Yeah. That makes
sense. So yeah, I thought it was a rare misstep in terms of, he was just wearing like regular, like black, like lace-up dress shoes. Very boring.
Yeah, and they were kind of like, even the dress shoes that they obviously put him in look stupid on him. They were like the square end. The square cap.
Oh, I hate the square end ones. Yes. Oh, they're so bad. It's like you see a man in a square ended dress shoe, and like a square toed dress shoe, and automatically the first thing that comes to my mind is like, could never think of you in a sexual way.
It's true.
Makes no sense.
Craig, have you've seen the square toed dress shoe, right?
Yeah,
is that an attractive looking shoe? Do you see that and think that's a person with good taste?
Well, I don't necessarily equate taste with sexual attraction. So that seemed like a big leap.
Nope. That's what women do all the time. I think I've told you this before, but I look at men's shoes first and foremost. There's plenty of passes. There's no like, hell yes, you are the guy. But there's definitely no's. You will never be the guy.
There are for sure, like the square-toed shoe for me is the biggest one of like, oh, that's a no. You know, like there are lots of ones in the middle where you're like, it's sort of whatever, I don't care either way. There are some that have like a very nostalgic thing for me. Like, I would say sneaker-wise, if do you know the Adidas Samba sneakers? They're the black ones with like the three stripes on the side. Those are
the shell.
Very... Not the shell. They don't have the shell in the front. They've got like, it's like a little T shape on the front, kind of. The sole is like sort of like a brown gum color thing. Those shoes to me are like a very nostalgic, like every guy I had a crush on in high school wore those shoes. So if I see a guy wearing those shoes and he's otherwise cute, I'm like, oh, that's nice. I have such a nice feeling about those specific sneakers, you know?
All right.
Lots of Tayshia fashion on this two episodes.
Yeah, let's
I'd like
wrap
to point out
fashion,
an episode, an outfit that I liked in particular because it was something that like I have worn a version of and love as an outfit. And it's what she was wearing. It's a super casual outfit she's wearing on the evening portion of the date with Zach after their dance lesson. She's wearing a gray muscle t-shirt that's cropped, with a pair of high-waisted black skinny jeans and a pair of like white Chuck Taylor sneakers. And I was like, that's an outfit I have worn and would wear again. Love that outfit.
I guess I can't remember that one.
It's very plain, but it was just the thing that I clocked because I love a muscle tee. I like cut the t-shirt sleeves off of things frequently.
A muscle tee is just a short sleeve t-shirt?
It's like, yeah, where you don't have sleeves on the t-shirt at all.
Oh, I see.
Because you cut them off to show your muscles is why it's called that. But yeah, I prefer a sleeveless t-shirt. So I've always done that. I also liked the dress she wore during the breakup date with Brendan, the silver kind of like bandagey tight dress. I thought that was a nice looking dress on her.
Yeah, and Brendan didn't dress up at all. He was wearing a t-shirt.
No, he didn't dress up at all. Well, presumably he knew the speech he was going to give. So like, why bother dressing up?
Yeah, I guess so.
Trying to think of those other outfits that stood out to me. Not too many. Oh, I did like Tayshia's pajama outfit the morning after with Ivan. She was wearing glasses. I thought the glasses were cute.
Right. When they had their breakfast on the little fake trunk and they couldn't even set up a table.
So she's wearing like, they look like clear frame glasses, like, you know, like the outside part is either clear or very light colored. And she's wearing like kind of a pajama y top with matching pajama shorts. And I was like, oh, that's a really cute pajama outfit. I like that.
Craig, what is the deal with like 90s now being little shorts with like a white top? Like that looks, I don't know, not cute or what's supposed to be sexy to me. That's weird, isn't it?
Wait, like lingerie,
it's supposed to be lingerie.
What?
She was wearing, I don't know, I can't tell you exactly when it was, either obviously either on Zach or Ivan's date, but she was wearing white tiny shorts and like a white satin spaghetti strap thing. And so it's supposed to be a sexy yet covered up look, but it looks like, I don't know, slumber party attire.
From the 90s?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It's it was on Zach's morning date. Okay. Because she also had a little like pink robe that she was wearing over it some of the time.
Yeah,
that and he put on when he was like dancing on the bed. But yeah, it was like a white satin or silk kind of thing. I mean, I thought it was cute, but it is supposed to be, I think it's like a conservative lingerie look, right? That it's like shorts and a tank toppy kind of top. Yeah. So you're not bearing your midriff and not like wearing a bra sort of on top. You're wearing like a little tank.
Yeah, but what's the, I guess my question is like, what's the evolution there? Because it's supposed to be in place of a kind of a dress lingerie thing that obviously is meant for sex. And this is somehow more okay.
You sound so disgusted, Izia.
Well, I want to make sure I'm factual. I don't know what to say because I'm...
That is obviously made for sex.
Goddamn sex.
The point of this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that also looks better on TV, right? That, like, Tayshia probably doesn't want to be on TV wearing, like, the bra and panty lingerie set because it is very exposed, right? But so it's more covered up, looks a little nicer on TV. It's more like a conservative look.
It's just, I mean, I'm asking, like, where did, those are popular, have been popular for the last 20 years. And I'm wondering.
Can't tell.
Why is that okay? Why are those okay on TV, but you can't wear what they call a teddy? Is that what they, is that really old fashioned to say? A teddy or a nightgown? A night.
Like the little short ones. I don't know what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I think it's that. It's weird to me that this is okay. It's obviously still lingerie in a way, except that the cotton shorts are not sexual.
Well, I think you buy it at
like Victoria's Secret. Yeah. Right. That's what I'm saying. Is that isn't Victoria's Secret supposed to be? Are they switching up their marketing to being comfy, cozy stuff?
Yeah, I think it's been like that for a long time.
Right.
Yeah, Jesus. It has been like that for a bit because they have like Victoria's Secret yoga pants and stuff like that that you can buy, right? That are like clearly for comfort, not for looking sexy. I will tell you an outfit of hers that she wore that I was like, I don't like that at all. It was the evening thing with Zach's date, and he's wearing like a white t-shirt and a blazer kind of combination, and she's wearing a pink strapless mini dress where the top part of like the boob cup area is like sparkly. Do you guys remember this dress?
Not really.
It's just one of those things where I was like, oh, I don't like it. I don't like the weird, like, half of the boob cup is sequins. The other half is like the regular part of the dress.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I remember now.
Yeah. I just like that look. Not for me.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. Let's end here. I'm done. Are you done as well? Anyone? Y'all still there?
I'm not fashion. I don't know what to do. Happy 100th episode, Craig.
Any words of wisdom on our 100th episode?
No.
Oh my God, that does not sound.
Hold on.
Nice.
Hold
over the.
On. the kids flute. Give me a. Okay, go ahead.
It just did not sound good over the microphone.
Well, that's your job to edit.
So we'll be back in just a week and a half, couple weeks here.
Yeah. 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 How much did they not want to give? They had to get, like, they gave this guy who I don't know that people are telling, you know, now we know that he's Tyler's best friend, but I would not have known who he was.
Yeah. That's been.
Yeah, but again, back to no former contestants are the lead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against awesome. It.
This is a fresh start for whatever they're passing around. It stops with Matt. I love it.
And then presumably starts up again with
what's going to next.
With Matt. Yeah.
Where are they at? We'll find out. Where are they at in the house? We'll find out.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Give us a review on the Apple Podcast app. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook if you want, even though no one follows us on Facebook. Lots of people follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We'll see you in a few days here for the master.
You don't sound excited.
Yeah. Six.